But it's always the same thing, yeah. Believe me. You know, if you operate thousands of puzzles, you're gonna get better in your mistakes.
Here we go. Cheers.
Who's next?
Awesome.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Rhinoplasty Podcast with me, Dr. Cameron McIntosh. Season 3, face-to-face interviews. And I'm delighted to finally, not finally, the second time, have Tierman Logan on the show. Welcome.
I'm so happy. You are welcome to my house.
It's amazing, guys. Look at where we are. I have never had such a setup. We are overlooking the skyline of Istanbul, penthouse suite. It is a glass of wine. Yes.
Martini Bianco.
Fantastic. So, yo, man, guys, it's so... Where do I start? So Tio invited me to come to this course, which is, we're going to get to just now, but we last spoke about 2 years ago when we last had a...
Yeah, I think
interview,
so.
Almost 2 years ago. And I have just thoroughly enjoyed being here for these last few days. So so many things I want to ask. Tell me about, like, what is it like doing these fellow courses? Because... it's one of the things I see, you are so passionate, you're teaching. We've got guys from Guatemala, from Spain, from the Dominican Republic, from Prague.
Yeah.
Don't they just suck your energy from you?
No, it's the opposite. It gives me so much energy. But when I started, in the first couple of times, I was a little bit tense, if you like. I was a little bit like, can I really teach these guys what I want to show? It was difficult. Then, I come to a state of mind that, you know, it's the most beautiful thing that I can do. And I feel so much full of energy when I have my fellows. And I learned so much that I can't tell you. You know, it's not only the fellows, but I also learned so much from them.
And, you know, Tio, what's been so interesting for me is, like, yesterday we just sat listening to you explaining your philosophy for a whole day. And that doesn't happen often. And a couple of the things that stood out for me was that with my kind of closed mind of, in a way, coming to this course and thinking, how can a guy say he's only 20 steps to rhinoplasty? And yet getting there and understanding how the two things that stood out for me, the one was that you adapt, even though there's that path that you are advising us with. Even in the OR today, we saw how you were changing a few things. That was the one thing. And the other thing that really stuck out to me is how there's like a mental quietness that comes upon you when you're operating, that you get into the zone. So explain maybe that second thing first. How do you get yourself mentally where you just like, it flows, that operation's flowing?
I think this is the most important point. It's like... the surgeon ego is something good, okay? But, you know, if you want to control everything during surgery, that problem starts just because of your ego. You have to be a little bit, you know, let the operation, the rhinoplasty operation especially, I'm not talking about a heart surgery, but
yeah.
Rhinoplasty operation, you have to let it go, flow by itself.
Yeah, yeah.
It will show you what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But everything starts with the step one. Step one, I put everything in place and I want to see the most beautiful shape that I'm going to end up with my fingers.
Yeah, with your fingers. That's kind of weird to think.
Yes, Cameron, think about, like, I give you some superpowers. And I tell you, Cameron, look, you're going to have this patient.
Yeah.
She's sleeping and you sit. And you're going to do something with your fingers, and this is going to stay like this, and this is going to be your result after surgery.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you're going to do exactly the same thing that I'm going to do. You're going to do this, you're going to say, Theo, I want this.
Yeah.
Okay. So my technique, what I do is, I'm trying to do this, put it in my mind, and then I will do exactly the same thing with my sutures, grafts,
Do
you understand? But this is the philosophy behind.
No, 100%. And you've just published this incredible paper in PRS about minimalistic rhinoplasty. But Tio, to, I mean, you're a master. You've been around the block. You've been experienced. You've been operating since the early 2000s. The step of coming from what I feel I want to get to and actually getting there is what's hard. And I think what's amazing is how you are trying to make that more simple for surgeons. But they mustn't ever underestimate that it's easy to get there. I mean, these are, you are making a super difficult operation, trying to make it easy, but it's still very hard to get those results.
Believe me not. Everybody thinks that this is the, you know, the golden fingers of the surgeon that makes sense. This is not true. This is the technique. This is, this is the, really the steps that you're going to follow. If you do something wrong, you can have any finger, golden finger you have, you're not going to have a good result. This is the technique. This is not the, really the surgeon's expertise or whatever. Of course, this is important. It's going to make a small difference.
Yes.
But the most important is not the surgeon, it's the technique.
Okay.
This is very important that, that we understand this. If you go in a wrong way, no matter what you do, you are not going to be, you are not going to get good results in all cases. You can get good results in some cases, but not all cases. And it's going to take hours. Your patient is going to swell. You're going to have some complications, blah, blah, blah. I had all this stuff for over years and years.
Yeah.
You know, I learned everything by tears and sweats and tears.
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
yeah,
it's so difficult. It's a so difficult journey.
Sure.
But what I learned is, you know, the first time I saw a proper rhinoplasty, I said, okay, the result is good, but this should not be that complicated. This should be much, this can be much more simple. I was very young. I was like 29, 30, so I don't remember.
Yeah.
Years ago, 25 years ago. I said, yeah, that should be much simpler. And it always was in my mind.
And that's now come to like, you, in a way, you're almost like a crusader for tearheadrhinoplasty. And you've written a book, which you're busy with your second edition now. You're publishing papers. You're traveling and teaching a lot, doing live surgery in Morocco next week. You run the fellowship programs. Just, it's fantastic. But you, if people can learn, there's lots of possibilities for them to learn.
Yeah, I also tried to use my Instagram account for, like, hereinoplasty account just for teaching. Like, people go there and they're going to have an idea of what I'm doing in my technique. But, you know, it's like rhinoplasty, all surgeries, but especially rhinoplasty, it's like an open buffet. You have a plate, just a plate.
Yeah.
You can't take everything from the open buffet. You're going to plate, you're going to take some of this stuff and you're going to eat it.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to take something from the open buffet. I understand. But, you know, what you choose means what technique you're going to choose going to make you a good surgeon or, let's say, more average surgeon.
And also, depending on the ethnicity of the patient. Now, one of the things that kept on coming up over the last few days is that some of the guys are from Latin America, and the septal cartilage in most of the ethnic Latin American patients is very weak. So now we're talking about the double tear stroke.
Yeah. Yeah, some friend of mine, they call it TACO. Yeah. I mean, there's always a solution. We are surgeons, and we're gonna have problems, and we're gonna find a solution.
Yeah.
It's very technical, and it's so easy. My son is studying engineering, and if I ask him, sometimes I ask him, what would you do in this situation? He's going to give me an answer immediately.
Yeah.
You know, from his mind of engineering, he'll say, do this and don't do this. It's very simple. Your card is weak. Yes, then do use two of them. That's so simple. I mean, we sometimes we exaggerate, but we are doing.
Yes.
It's so simple. You can, of course, if this is weak, we're going to put one more. And if so weak, you don't have cartilage, then you will go to the costa.
Of course.
And you're going to take something, and you're going to make reinforcement. But, you know, in Istanbul, the cartilages are good, so we dominate it. That's it.
So, yeah, I want to steer a little bit away from, like, the technical side of rhinoplasty, because I think it's amazing what you're doing. I think it's amazing how you're teaching, and we can all learn from this. But one of the things that I've been mulling over in this season on the podcast is like the surgeon's mental well-being. Like, because there's stress involved with operating on patients. And when things aren't perfect, it's even worse, the stress. What are some of the things you'd like to guide listeners on with managing that aspect of rhinoplasty?
Oh, maybe this is the most difficult part. I can't say I'm an expert on this. On this issue, but what you can do, the most important part is to choose the patient.
Yeah.
this is by far the most important part. You know, if you adopt don't, it was a word from, I think, from Dr. Tebbets. Doubt, don't. It's very important. Like, but you know, that was the same question in my group now, with my fellow groups. You know, you get older, and the patients have more respect to you.
Yeah.
And they believe you more. This is very true. But I was like, I had more friction with my patients. Now I'm getting older, they said, you know the best. Because, you know, they said, Dr. Tebbets is over 50, and now he's like, he knows, he must know it.
Yeah.
It's very important. Okay. But aging is not good, but in this aspect, aging is very, very good. You know, so I have a little more distance with my patients, so they respect me a little more, but still, you have to choose your patients. Very important. If you are, you have a little bit of doubt. And also, as a doctor, you must be careful. Like, if the patient has some issues with his body image, stuff like this, if you operate this guy, you're going to cause more problems. As a doctor, not only protect ourselves, but you have to protect also the patients. Yeah. The patient may go very deep in their depression, whatever psychological problems, just because we do something in their noise. And the noise is very, let's say, close to the psychological center of the human beings.
I
strongly believe this. For the patients and also for the surgeons. For the surgeons, rhinoplasty is very important. Very important. And also for the patients, rhinoplasty is more important than any other aesthetic operations we do.
I mean, we were speaking about it yesterday, how this attraction back thousands of years ago to the big, more powerful guy. She wants to have him as the mate, you know, because then they can have offspring. And I think this is, first thing you see is, you look at someone's eyes, but then the next thing is their nose.
Well, I think it's quite complicated. My girlfriend, she's a psychologist, and we are talking lots of things about this. And she has an idea about this, very strange idea, but I think she's right. She told me, Till, do you know why you guys, you surgeons, are very interested in rhinoplasty? You are not interested in ear surgery, otoplasty, or, I don't know, breast surgery.
Yeah.
You know, if you go to a breast surgery meeting, you're going to see a couple of guys. Come to a rhinoplasty meeting, everybody is there. Everybody is very tense, listening and trying to do the good surgery. You know why? Because she said there is something phallic on the tip of the nose. It goes very deep, he says. In you guys, surgeons, you are very attracted to this. And also the patients. This projection that you create on the nose will be something very important for the surgeons and also for the patients.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
So does that have anything to do with this rhinoceros
on the
table?
Yeah, this actually, I love this. This is a present from Cameron, and this is from the South Africa, and this is beautiful. I mean, look at it. This is tear stuff.
Yes. With the miniature bottle.
It's so beautiful.
Yeah.
This animal's beautiful.
Yeah, but it's also, I mean, rhinos, this is what people cut their horns off. It's tragic.
It's incredible. It's like beautiful animals.
Tio, your team, like, we know you on social media as you, but you've got an incredible support team.
Yeah, you saw that today.
And in the OR.
Yeah, you saw that today. Yeah.
It's great to see. And I mean, they're very loyal to you and they obviously love what they're doing. How's that been for you?
Yeah, it's very important for me. You know, I can say without my team, I'm nothing.
Yeah.
You know, it's really a teamwork that we do everything together. And it's so important for me. Also so important for them. Like, Özkan, I'm working with him, like, I don't know, 18 years something. He was a teenager with pimples on the face when he started. And Sida, saw her. She's with me for 20 years.
Wow.
Meltdown, 5 years. Target, like, now is 3 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, so nice. She's almost like more than 2 years now. And my team now is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And so it's like, and Berkay, you've been today with it took it's like 2 years.
Wow.
These are all my team, and they're going to help me in all aspects. You know, they're going to follow our job. Not myself. They're going to be in the job that we are doing.
Tio, two more things I want to chat to you about. The one is papers. Tell the listeners a little bit about what you've recently published and what you have in the pipeline.
What I published, it was my first publication, actually, not mine. It was published in Paris, my book.
Yes.
Yeah. Paris put my book, like a new book, and they gave a little bit of, you know, explanation of what it is. And then Dr. Gorgi told me, Theo, you are lazy, and I want to see the paper in 3 weeks on my table. I said, okay, all right. He was serious. He said, wow. Theo, you know, Paris, your paper, I want to see it. And, you know, I sent it in 3 weeks, but, you know, it was already written because it was the parts of the book. I just put it on the... On the stuff that the most difficult part in publishing is putting it on the internet on the computer stuff. You know, this OIT whatever is so crazy difficult.
It is. Eh?
I don't know why, but you know, come on, let's make this OIT a little bit.
No, it's 100%. Now, how do people get hold of your book?
Now they can't. It's finished. It's sold out. It's finished. I'm writing right now my book. I think. My work is going to be done in this weekend. I'm going to be done with all this stuff. And then my team, they're going to put all the videos and photos and everything. And it's going to be a little bit bigger, but it's like a second edition is going to be the same thing, a little bit larger. And there are many things that I changed.
Yeah.
New. And I'm going to, of course, I'm going to put in the book.
That's cool.
And it's going to be a little bit bigger. And yeah. I hope to publish it this year, before the end of 2023.
And then, okay, last thing I want to chat about. If I'm correct, your kind of initial training for your first, say, like 10, 15 years or so was open structural type of approach to rhinoplasty. Then you had this like epiphany of going to visit Eves, and he had such a big influence on your career and changing techniques, and that you predominantly, I'm not putting you in a box here, predominantly you're doing high strip approaches to preservation rhinoplasty. So the two things I want to ask about that is, what's that journey been like for you, this like evolution in your rhinoplasty space? But then the second one is, where do you think this is going to continue towards?
I started open for sure. But, you know, when I was in the university, my professor, Dr. Ayhan Umanoğlu, he was very good. He was maybe the best rhinoplasty surgeon in Turkey at this time. He was very, 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 I mean, proper surgery. But, you know, I'm talking about the 80s, beginning of 90s. And so he was doing this very, let's say, for this time, old school surgery. Like taking the hump, doing the osteotomies, and, you know, shaping a little bit of the tip, and no sutures. We didn't know, nobody knew the sutures on the tip these days. But he always did a very proper surgery. And he was very good in septum. He was taking the septum out, doing things like that. So the first thing I learned was closed. Then when I started my private practice, then the open rhinoplasty became very popular. Then I switched to open rhinoplasty with grafts, suture, tip sutures, and stuff like this. But over time, I understood that the real correct way of doing this is minimalism.
Okay.
We have to be very minimalist.
Yes.
In grass, in sutures, in open, close approach, and everything. And if I do less, the result is going to be much better.
But I want to interrupt you there. The other thing that absolutely I found amazing is in your like philosophy chatting about rhinoplasty yesterday, you said there's so much about releasing tension in the nose.
Yes.
And that is so interesting.
Yeah, I think it's very important. I think most of the deformities that we see during surgery comes from some tension on the tissues. And there are two ways of correcting this. Let's be more proper. Like, let's talk about the tension. Let's talk about the deviation on the septum.
Yes.
The septum is deviated. There are two ways of doing this. In my opinion, there's a tension on it because the septum is too big. So you have to cut some part and it's going to relax and it's going to stay straight.
Yes.
Or you can make the septum straight by putting some grafts. Yes. There's a tension on the septum, then you're going to add more tension on the septum, but more tension, and it's going to get straight.
Yeah, but you're using the opposite with the graft.
Yes.
It's more kind of the old school.
Yes, old school.
Yeah.
Well, this is old school. Still, many people are using this. This is also possible that you can make it straight with more force. you know, there's a force here. You're gonna put more than the your more force is going to be the dominant force, and it's going to be there. But it's so much tension. Or you can understand why the septum is curved, and you're gonna make a release, and the septum will be happy to stay in the midline.
Okay.
And then you don't have to make any fixation, nothing.
Okay. So now. So this is the thing that I find so interesting. Listening to so many people around the world talking and at meetings and stuff, they say preservation is really hard, which it is. But, so they say, no, you must first learn structure, then you learn preservation. What do you think about that? Because if you can learn how to do it from the start, do you necessarily have to have structural techniques?
Yeah, but you know, all this terminology is a little bit sometimes confusing.
Yeah.
What exactly we mean by structural? If you mean like hump removal and reconstruction of the dorsum, I think you don't have to learn it. It's, you know, I learned this dorsal preservation from Yves Saban,
yes.
But on phone. You know, he said, I want to come. He said, don't come.
What?
He said, Theo, tap more. What? Osteotomy, tap more. You know, it's not going to work. He said, tap more. And it will work. Don't worry. Yeah. You will do it. You will do it. And second thing, the suppurative area lost. Don't come, he said. Do it. I said, thank you. And I did it. It worked. You know, this is very important.
Yeah, but remember, you did that after you'd already been operating thousands and thousands of
times. No, it's not true. It's not true. It's always the same thing. Yeah. Believe me. You know, If you operate thousands of thousands, you're gonna get better in your mistakes. You know,
I love that.
Yes.
So if you're operate thousands of times, you're gonna get better with your mistakes.
Mistakes. You're gonna be the best in your mistakes. this is very important. This is what I learned from my coach of windsurfing. He said, "Don't practice your mistakes."
Yes.
Because the worst thing you can do, you're gonna get better in your mistakes. And nobody can take you out. You're going to be good in your mistake. But it's a mistake, so it's a mistake.
That's fascinating.
Yes, that's very important. We must, the technique is everything.
Yeah.
We must follow the right way. Then we can reach some places. Otherwise, you know, you can take a wrong way, but you can be very good in your wrong way. But there's a limit that you can be. It's going to get harder and harder and harder and harder. Because it's wrong.
Yeah.
For the preservation, dorsal preservation, not preservation without rhinoplasty work doesn't mean anything to me. Dorsal preservation, like I learned from Dr. Yves Saban, it was something that I always had in my mind when I started. I said, why are we removing the hump? Let's keep it and let's push it down.
Yeah.
But I didn't know how to do it. I told this many times to Barış. I said, Barış, look, we are dealing with this and we should push it down. He said, oh, it's good. Look at my, you know, grafts here. I forgot what is a very special graft. Very nice. He's doing a great job. But it's difficult. I mean, I said, why excision and then reconstruction? Like, you know, yeah. I can't understand this. Yves told me, you know, the right way of doing this is, I'm really grateful to him.
Yeah.
It's very important that somebody says this. And I have another friend, Hüseyin Güner in Istanbul. He was doing the same thing for over years. He also helped me a lot. He came to my operating room. He said, Theo, do this and don't do this and don't do this. He has a huge experience. He's a very good surgeon. Mm-hmm. I also learned a lot from him.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. Guys, I hope you've had a little, tiny little taste of what it's like to hang out with Theo. It's amazing. If you're listening to this podcast, you're watching it on YouTube, make sure that you just connect with this man. He's inspiring. He is changing the world one Theo strut at a time.
Thank you so much.
Theo, thanks so much. It's just fascinating to chat with you. Yes. Chat for hours.
Yeah,
man.
Thank you.
Guys, thank you so much for tuning in to listen and come back again next week for another episode of the Rhinoplasty Podcast whilst the two of us just enjoy the last of our sundowners here in Istanbul. Cheers.